Okay, so my main focus today is to talk about a relatively new model that we've been developing at Colorado State University. So I'm an assistant professor in the department, and I'd like to acknowledge two of my PhD students, Sang-Yu Park and Jialu Wei, who will be showing some of their results today in the presentation, and really looking at how SWOT and ModFlow are coupled together. So I'll give a brief overview of SWOT ModFlow, look at current applications of the model, and also how we're trying to get the model out to the general scientific community and anyone who's interested in using it. We're very amenable to working with other groups and trying to get our model out there. So the motivation of linking SWOT and ModFlow is to provide a coupled hydrologic model that not only simulates groundwater hydrology, but also surface water, land surface hydrology, and linking those two systems together. Taking SWOT as our base model, we want to improve the groundwater flow and solid transfer processes in SWOT. And so the method is to link SWOT with a physically based, spatially distributed groundwater model such as ModFlow. If you use SWOT before, it's a wonderful tool. If it's used in a watershed that has a lot of base flow from groundwater, you don't always get great results. And so we've been trying to improve SWOT's process by linking it with a physically based groundwater model. So basically, taking the soil water assessment tool that does land surface processes and stream flow, and also the nutrient transport of nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediments, linking with ModFlow, which is a three-dimensional groundwater flow model developed by the U.S. Geological Survey. It's a finite difference model that solves the groundwater flow equation. It solves for groundwater head in space and time. And you can include pumping, recharge, evapotranspiration, injection wells, any sort of source and sink in the aquifer, and also looking at groundwater surface water interactions. And in some applications, we're also interested in looking at nutrient transport in the aquifer, and so we link the SWOT ModFlow system with RT3D, which does reactive transport in three dimensions in the aquifer. So we can look at chemical reactions, sorption, anything that is modifying the concentration of chemicals in the aquifer. So this is our linked modeling system. Now, looking at a cross-section of a typical groundwater surface water system, everything in green is what SWOT is modeling. So we have overland flow and transport, the root zone processes, plant growth, stream processes, solid transport in surface water. Everything in blue is now what ModFlow is handling. So groundwater flow, simulating the water table elevation in space and time, looking at pumping wells, for example, and also looking at betazone percolation. So linking SWOT and ModFlow with an unsaturated zone flow package of ModFlow. Now, if we're interested also in nutrient transport in the groundwater system, everything in red here is what RT3D handles. So solid transport in the unsaturated zone, we can simulate pumping the removal of nitrogen and phosphorus concentration or mass from the aquifer, the transport of N and P in the groundwater system, and then loading towards the surface water system. So we have groundwater discharge and nitrogen phosphorus loading from the aquifer to the stream. And if the stream is losing, then we also simulate the seepage of water into the aquifer, also along with the N and P mass. So just in a basic way, I'm not going to go through all the details of how we do this linkage, but for example, if we have a SWOT model on the left with all the individual subbasins and the subbasin streams, on the right we have a ModFlow model discretized with finite difference grid cells. We first will take the recharge calculated by the hydrologic response units of SWOT and pass that inside as the model is running to ModFlow. So we have recharge going to each grid cell being mapped from the subbasins and HRUs of SWOT. We also have nitrate concentration and phosphorus concentration in the soil deep percolation. It's also passed to ModFlow if we're using RT3D to simulate reactive transport of those chemicals in the groundwater system. ModFlow needs to know the stream stage of each channel so it can calculate interaction between groundwater and surface water using Darcy's law. And so SWOT also provides for each channel the stream stage and the in-stream concentration of nitrate and phosphorus to the ModFlow river cells. And everything in blue here is a grid cell that's mapped along the streams of the SWAT subbasins. So then, for a given time step, ModFlow takes this information of recharge and stream stage, calculates groundwater head at every grid cell in the model, and then passes groundwater discharge back to SWAT, and also if there's any nitrate and phosphorus loading from the aquifer into the streams. And so SWAT then will take that and then route the water and the nutrients down the watershed network. And so every single day we have SWAT passing information to ModFlow, ModFlow passing information back to SWAT, and then SWAT performing the routing mechanisms. So to perform the linkage between the HRUs of SWAT and the ModFlow grid cells, we perform GIS pre-processing routines. And we have tutorials, I'll talk about a bit later about how to do that. And also we're trying to make this as simple as possible, so we have some graphical user interface tools that we are developing and trying to get out to people to use as well. So this code is a single Fortran code. SWAT is a Fortran code. ModFlow is a Fortran code. We take ModFlow, embed it inside SWAT, compile it so it's a single Fortran compiled code that you can run. The default is a daily time step, but you can modify that so that you can run ModFlow whenever you want to. You can run SWAT for 30 days. It will take average groundwater recharge, pass it to ModFlow. It will run for 30 days and then pass it back to SWAT. Some recent modifications that we've made to the SWAT ModFlow code. First is groundwater irrigation. So, for example, if we have a pumping well in the aquifer that ModFlow is simulating, it will take that volume, apply it to the HRU, and compute an irrigation depth over that HRU. So you can link groundwater irrigation from ModFlow to SWAT. Now, if you run SWAT's auto-irrigation routines, you can also, again, link the SWAT HRUs with the ModFlow grid cells. So SWAT will auto-irrigate and then calculate a volume of pumped groundwater and provide that to the ModFlow pumping cells. The ModFlow will simulate the pumping, and then it can be linked that way. The second recent modification is looking at a shallow water table condition. So for example, SWAT typically takes care of all the soil percolation in the unsaturated zone and then passes recharge to ModFlow, which will then calculate water table elevation in the saturated zone. However, if you have a condition where you have a high water table, then the SWAT infiltration and percolation routines need to be modified to handle to so that everything below the water table becomes saturated. So we've done that in the code. So ModFlow will simulate the water table elevation. If the water table is found to be in SWAT soil profile, the layers below become saturated. Recharge is from the layer above, and then lateral flow is only calculated in the layers above the water table. So ModFlow takes care of everything below the water table and lets SWAT handle everything above. So there's that dynamic linkage. So looking at now some current applications of how we're using this model, here's a map showing different locations that are different, where different research institutions are now using SWAT ModFlow. Just some basic ones here, working with the University of Swansea, there's a Dee River watershed in Northern Wales that we're working with, and they're getting some really good results right now. Aarhus University in Denmark, we've actually had some exchanges of students and faculty. They're using SWAT ModFlow for Danish catchments, looking at not only groundwater but also nutrient regulations for nitrates in Denmark. Clemson University has been looking at the Tigris-Euphrates River Basin and performing a very large-scale SWAT ModFlow simulation. And then two of my students, Jelus Wei, has been working in the Upper Klamath Basin in Oregon, and Sengu Park has been working in the Middle Bosque watershed in Texas. Also with Dr. Katrine Beiger from Texas A&M AgriLife in Temple, Texas. So a lot of collaborations, and we're trying to get the model out to as many people as would like to use it. So today I'll just give a few slides about how we're using SWAT ModFlow for the Middle Bosque watershed in Texas. Located in central Texas, it has an area of about 500 square kilometers, and we're looking at a simulation period from 1980 to 2012, again looking at stream flow and also groundwater, and eventually looking at nutrient transport. So when we set the ModFlow model, we have quite a complex geology in the system. We have five layers, and we have limestone, and we have unconsolidated sediments, that is the unconfined aquifer. So we have a mixed unconfined, confined aquifer system. So we're using ModFlow. Here's hydraulic connectivity. just based on the geologic rocks and soil type. We have specific yield of the aquifer and also river conductance along the stream network. To set the SWOT model, we have 69 subbasins that the watershed was divided into, a variety of soil types, and then different land use. This is a very naturalized watershed. It's not a lot of urban, so it's a good example of using SWOT model for a natural watershed. This is an example of simulated water table elevation. So going from high, this is about 340 meters above sea level, down to about 160. And so we have a gradient of hydraulic head or water table elevation from northwest to southeast. And you can see the stream, the main stream, the Middle Bosque River here, with some tributaries coming in. And I should note that our grid cells we're using are 150 meters by 150 meters. And so we can go larger or smaller. In fact, my student will be doing a sensitivity analysis on how grid cells, the size for mod flow affects results for groundwater and surface water. Here's an animation showing the change in, this is depth to water table throughout the watershed. And so you can see right near the streams, we have high water tables and a lot of base flow going into the stream. Now, if we look at the outlet of the Middle Bosque watershed and zoom in, we can now look at the comparison between observed and simulated hydrograph at the outlets. And if we zoom in to this a period of low flow, in purple is the simulated hydrograph, and in yellow is the observed. And so we do get some good results, but I'm just showing a place here where we're still working on trying to get the base flow correct at low flow conditions, and we're missing some of the peaks here. Whereas here we're doing a better job getting the peaks. And now also looking at an observation well located here near one of the tributaries. So in white is the observed hydrograph. So there was a well with a data logger, and in purple is the simulated. Red is the observed, and in white is the simulated flow. And so we're again trying to get a good match between groundwater and surface water. And we're continuing calibration currently. And so a big challenge has been SWOT has some auto-calibration tools, such as SWOT Cup. ModFlow has some calibration tools, for example, PEST. But when you want to modify both SWOT and ModFlow parameters, what do you do? And we've had a lot of questions about that. And Sengyu, the PhD student, has recently developed a PEST model that can do SWOT and ModFlow combined. And he's currently running that calibration. So hopefully we'll get better results as we go forward. This is looking at an output of the water balance. So we have precipitation. This is from 1988 to 2003. Precipitation here in depths. And then right up along this axis, we have surface water and soil water, so all the land surface water balance terms. And then along the bottom, now we have groundwater. So in blue, dark blue here is seepage from stream to the aquifer. And so looking at interaction, this is showing total groundwater in the basin and then total water yield to the surface water streams. So again, having some graphs that can show in one snapshot how much surface water is being developed or yielded to the streams and how much groundwater there is and how it's changing based on rainfall patterns in the system. So looking at how we're trying to get the model out to groups around the world, on the main SWOT website, if you go under software, you'll see SWOT ModFlow, and so we can download version 2. There's a tutorial with example data sets. The source code is there, so anyone can go to the source Fortran code that we've developed and can download it, compile it, make changes. Everything's open source. Anyone can use it. There's also a Google group that you can join. Right now there's over 200 members from around the world who are on this Google group. A tutorial developed by Sengyu Park, one of my PhD students, and this will go through the process of linking SWOT and ModFlow, HRUs, subbasins, streams, and ModFlow grid cells. We're also developing a plug-in tool for QGIS, an open source GIS system, and it's being developed by Sengyu and also by Dr. Anders Nielsen at Aarhus University, so a joint collaboration. It will be able to load in an existing SWOT model make a mod flow grid, do all the linkage, and run the simulation, and then also visualize maps and time series here, compare it with observation data, and eventually have a tool for calibration using the PEST parameter estimation tool. So again, trying to make this as easy as possible for folks to use around the world. And I'd like to acknowledge funding sources, mainly USDA, also Dr. Jeff Arnold, the SWAT developer in Temple, Texas, and NIFA. So thank you very much for your attention. Yes. Yeah, there's no code needs to be changed now. Was that your question?
Yeah.
Right. So now with the linked code, it's now just there's no code modification has to happen. It's just taking an existing SWAT model and a modflow model, linking it using GIS, and then running it using the code. So no, you don't have to change any of the Fortran code. Right, everything's done internally, and so when we link the atries of SWAT with modflow grid cells, you make a few text files that contain that information. That gets read in at the beginning of the simulation and is used internally throughout the simulation. So there's no reading, writing of files. It's just making those at the very beginning.
Okay, very good.
Yep.